Breer on Christmas Eve at 1 o'clock. He follows up with a tweet talking about the Hounds here. I'll admit this. I had no clue how seriously that Chiefs and Mahomes fans are taking the MVP race. This is a blood sport to them. Sean, when you see the Skip Baylesses and the Colin Cowherds questioning Patrick Mahomes, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I kind of feel that they're not even watching the game. Like, it's the same thing we talked about with Stephen A. Smith. Like, to make judgments based off of, teams winning and losing, coming up a big stage, and then seeing, like, their favorite MVP, which is, Drew Brees, get, basically dismantled against the Dallas Cowboys on primetime TV, but then you just blow over like it didn't happen. And, the first opportunity you have him to make a, come up big, now he's back on top. Our guy has not stumbled. He's in his second year of playing football, the first year of full-time starting, and has set record upon record. He's on a phenomenal pace as far as his own progression, and he continues to get better each week. He's making plays that none of these other quarterbacks can even think about making most of the time, and he's making them look average, ordinary. A 270, a 280-yard, 3-touchdown game is just normal now for Pat Mahomes. That's kind of like his his floor. And with other quarterbacks, they're with the Drew Brees thing, it's this whole lifetime. Like, it's the MVP is not a lifetime achievement award. If they want to give him a lifetime achievement award, then make up one. Make one up just for your entire career and then give it to him because he hasn't received one MVP award yet.
I like that point because I've heard people like a Skip Bayless talking about Fox Sports talking about how he hasn't been that great lately, Mahomes. And he's been very good. He just hasn't been as good as he was at the beginning of the season. Talks about the prime time. Talks about how Drew Brees' big games. It isn't the big game prime time December MVP. That's not what we're talking about. We talk about the entire year of football. And all you have to do is look at the stats. Let's not even name the names. I know you're going to know the names once I read the stats, but that just should show you how obvious it is as to who the MVP of this league is. Player A, 4,816 yards, 48 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 58 rushes, 271 yards, 2 touchdowns. A little math. I'm not great at math. So, Sean, help me out with this.
That's 5,000
yards. What's 48 plus 2?
That's 5,000
That's
yards 50 and 50 touchdowns.
Touchdowns. Total touchdowns on the year. Player B, 3,992 yards, 32 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 31 rushes for 22 yards and 4 touchdowns. To be fair, 32 plus 4, did a little math, let's see. 36, 14 more touchdowns. Now, if you want to come up to me and make a case for Aaron Donald, that's fine because you can't really compare those stats. Donald may have a chance here to break Michael Strahan's record the final week. 95.3% Pro Football Focus rating all year. 3 sacks last game. This is from PFF. From 40 pass rushing snaps against the Cardinals, he produced 3 sacks, a hit, and 7 hurries. You can compare Aaron Donald and his importance to the team like Patrick Mahomes. You have set a precedent now where you really don't give the MVP to defensive players, so I think that'd be a little abnormal. I think a lot of disrespect comes from the fact that he's just 23 and young and hasn't really earned his keep yet. You can't give Drew Brees give him the MVP because of age. You just can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, really, at this point, Drew Brees shouldn't even be in the running right now. It should be basically between offense and defense. Our guy Mahomes is definitely the best offensive player in the league this year. Of course, Aaron Donald's the best defense. If somehow Aaron Donald ends up the season, breaking the sack record, then that's a all-time NFL record where you have to actually consider giving a defensive player the MVP based off just the fact that he did something that's, once in a lifetime, as opposed to, Pat Mahomes, even though he's having the greatest offensive touchdown production, he's not breaking that 55, I think, touchdown record, which Peyton Manning holds.
You never know against the Raiders.
I mean, we hope, but.
I look at Donald, and you got to take into account some of these analytical numbers that are coming in more in football nowadays. You can even measure how many times he affects the quarterback, and he's just way ahead of everybody else. Like, those stats didn't exist. It reminds me of, you know, win above replacement in baseball. You're starting to get a little bit more statistics in that sense, and Donald is right there. Don't give me Drew Brees. The Chiefs, this is smart of them now. I'm fair with the Chiefs. I got to commend them when they do something correct. They created an MVP campaign, launched it, I believe it was Christmas Eve, hashtag MVPat, with this video. If you haven't seen it, you got to go to the Chiefs account. We'll play the audio for you right now. This is courtesy of the Chiefs, MVPat.
America, Peter King has an MVP watch.
When you hear MVP,
yeah,
who's the one guy that comes to your mind without question?
Oh, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Figuring out the MVP. But when you produce highlights like that,
my man Patrick Mahomes to the top of this list.
And what Pat can do with what Andy has given him?
He threw six touchdowns for 478 yards.
He could make a big MVP case here.
And let the best man win.
And I think it depends on who gets the number.
The Pat Mahomes experiment.
I don't believe in the system that they have in the Big 12.
Even though he has more arm talent, are they actually the worst because of it?
And I'm so all in on Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to go on record and say he is the next Brett Favre.
High snap, Mahomes, play fake, sets a pass, caught by Tyreek Hill, missed tackle, at the 40, at the 30, he's into jet propulsion, touchdown, Kansas City!
Our next game is Kansas City at Pittsburgh.
This is going to be the first real road test for Patrick Mahomes. Welcome to Pittsburgh.
In the empty backfield, Mahomes steps up, roll out to the right side.
Swing left sideline, throws for Kelce. Chris Conley's got it. Passes caught, Tyreek Hill. Touchdown, Kansas City. On two rolls of the dice, the Chiefs roll seven.
Drawing a lot of attention here, Tiki. Are we overreacting?
No.
Because this is only two games.
No.
Or can he be this good?
Mahomes or Jimmy G?
Jimmy Mahomes, I'm not even thinking about it. This guy or Mahomes?
Mahomes.
Trying to keep the play alive. Fires it, lanes, caught in the back of the end zone. Touch
Mahomes is the league MVP because of plays like this.
Throws it left-handed to Tyreek Hill.
Damn!
Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing deep. He's got Tyreek Hill wide open. Touchdown! Kansas City!
Cheetah, go for 75.
This is Mozart on the gridiron. This is Picasso in the red zone. This is Hamlish between the hashes.
Is Broncos Bunch ready to make a playoff run?
Mahomes fires over the middle, caught! Touchdown!
He's staring one way at the last second, throws a bullet at Kelce.
Looks middle, now fires to the end zone. Kelsey's got it! Touchdown!
The most beautiful pass.
All right, Monday's game. It is a marquee matchup.
Play action fake. Bootleg throwback attempt.
Throwing long. Tyreek Hill's wide open at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Nobody is within the boundaries of California.
This man, Patrick Mahomes, who's being criticized by some today, just threw six touchdowns, 500 yards.
Well, this is the stupidest thing I have ever seen. The Mahomes no-look pass in a real game over the middle, throwing a no-look pass. It was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life in a game that matters.
But now the Ravens have taken the lead.
Let's see it. Let's see it, Mahomes. This, if you're going to win the MVP, we need to see it on this drive.
Mahomes holding into the pocket, scrambling to the right side.
That fourth and nine that Mahomes completed was absolutely one of the most sick plays I've ever seen from a quarterback.
Unbelievable.
Now he's viewed as the best player in the NFL. But it's not just the numbers. It's not just the wins. It's the freaking highlights. Every week.
Sprint out action. Right side by Mahomes. All kinds of time. Pump faking. Now fires it. Lays caught in the end zone. DeMarcus Robinson.
This is my top five league MVP candidate. Number one on the list. Patrick Mahomes.
Because Mahomes is a freak. And that arm is a cannon. And he is a gift from the football gods.
That's the Chiefs going on the offensive to really just get the message out there of how good this kid is. Ken Swanson of ArrowheadPride.com, lead film and draft analyst, tweeting about it. That should be an award-winning for the Chiefs social team, just like the subject of the video. Outstanding. I happen to agree. If you haven't seen it, again, it's on the Chiefs' Twitter. Another stat from Kent to kind of end this case. This is from, I believe, Sunday. Patrick Mahomes, road touchdown passes, 30. Drew Brees season touchdown passes 32. I rest my case. Hashtag MVPat. Tweet it. Have your mom tweet it. Your grandma tweet it. If there's anything I know about Kansas City, Sean, it can get behind a movement like this. I know you enjoy Twitter. I know you'll be tweeting out hashtag MVPat.
Three times a day, just like my meals. I'm going to eat breakfast. I'm going to tweet out hashtag MVPat. I'm going to have a nice lunch. Then I'm going to tweet out hashtag MVPat. And then at dinner, after I say my blessings and be thankful for the day I've received, I'm going to hashtag MVPat. That's a great analogy. Just showing, I watch all the games, right? I'm a Chiefs fan, but I watch all the games. If I think about the 10 most exciting offensive plays by any quarterback, Pat owns 5 of them. And I can't even think of the other ones. DeSean Jackson might have had one. Randomly, I can think of some other quarterbacks that have done some great things. But the left-handed throw, the amount of times he puts the sidearm slot and throws the submarine pass.
He did it the other night with
from
Sir
the
Kendrick.
Arm slot for Sir Kendrick.
So many Mahomes moments. You're right.
The scrambles around back and forth to find the guys for the touchdowns early on in the year with Conley, late with Honey Thunder. I don't remember Drew Brees having these type of drives, these type of throws to get his 32 touchdowns. They're just touchdowns. But this guy, Pat Mahomes, he's brought so much excitement to the league as far as just highlights. And then he's not a Dominique Wilkins. It's not just a bunch of highlights. I mean, he's effectively got the team in the AFC fighting for a number one home seat, home field advantage throughout the playoffs. In his second year as a pro, everybody said it. Once you polish a little bit of shine off, once teams got 3 or 4 games of film on him, defenses can start to adjust to him. They're gonna start to, he'll start slowing down. All these things that people have seen before in other quarterbacks, and now we're about to go into week 17, and he ain't slowed down nothing. He ain't stopped a bit. He's still putting up 300 yards, 3 touchdowns on everybody.
And I think it'll help that he actually has to play next week. He'll be playing the full game because the Chiefs need it, whether you like that or not. You probably don't like it if you're a Chiefs fan. You'd rather they had won last week. Andy Reid would have rested him. But he'll be playing, so the numbers are going to be even more than that. Mahomes is your MVP. It's Christmas night, but it's also Tuesday night. He's former Chiefs linebacker Sean Barber. I'm Pete Sweeney. The power rankings, it being Tuesday, are out, and we're going to talk about the team the Chiefs do not want to see, and that's next.
Being at night.
It's a lovely Christmas night. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of ArrowheadPride.com, hanging out with linebacker Sean Barber. Usually it's Arrowhead Pride Radio, but tonight it is Bink at Night, filling in for Jay Binkley on the holidays so Santa Bink can enjoy himself. And even though it is Christmas, it is Tuesday, meaning it's power ranking day in the NFL. By the way, if you want to get involved, text to us at Protein House, Eat with the Purpose text line 69306, 57573. Our last song that we played from the Chiefs account, this needs to be my alarm every morning. Another guy has goosebumps. But again, into power rankings we go, and these are from NFL.com. Again, it's Elliot Harrison who does them for NFL.com. So they come out today after the loss. But the Chiefs come in, and they're fourth place. Sean, guess the top three teams in order.
I know the Chiefs are the best in the AFC, so that means
that's correct.
That means the top three have to come somewhere from the NFC. Obviously, it's the teams at the bye right now, the Rams, the Saints. The third team is the Bears have been pretty good too. So the Rams, the Saints, the Bears. I don't know which order I would put those in.
The Saints were number one, 13-2. Right now, Chicago Bears, Matt Nagy, you got that ex-Andy Reid assistant creeping in to the top two at number two, and then the Los Angeles Rams at number three. I want to focus on the Chiefs. Here's what Harrison had to say about the Chiefs. Even coming off of 2 losses in a row, the Chiefs don't fall too much, nor have they ceased to inspire confidence as a Super Bowl contender. The Chargers loss to the Ravens means the Chiefs can get home field advantage throughout next week with the win. Secondly, many talented teams have gone to Seattle and flown home with an L like the Chiefs did on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes did nothing to diminish the high esteem in which fans and opponents hold him, becoming the fastest player to 5,000 yards passing in NFL history while making more of those weird angle throws that make you wonder if he is the long-lost love child of Nolan Ryan and Gumby. I don't know how he got that voice. Of course, Mahomes' dad actually was a pro baseball player. The defense remains a question mark and they can ill afford to have Dee Ford limping around. I agree with all those points, and I think that's an interesting one about Seattle. I think in Kansas City, we want the team to win every game because I think we've seen what this team can be this year. But you talk about Seattle. They're a team that also is a playoff contender. They're 8-6. They needed a win to get into the playoffs, and they just took care of business on Sunday. I think even some of the better teams, given the parity in the league, are going to lose. It just hurts more because it's two in a row, and you really haven't seen that side of the Chiefs this year.
Yeah. The Chiefs, I mean, they're one of those teams that's they're going to continue to just grow. And, you know, like you're saying, the playbook is going to continue to evolve. Love the way they're using Kelsey. Love the way they're using Hill. The you know, without Hunt there anymore, the emergence of D. Williams, getting Ware healthy again. Hopefully, Watkins get healthy. So, I mean, they got some guys just sitting there on the boiler, back on the pantry, ready to bring them back off the shelf to, you know, sprinkle some. I still haven't seen, you know, Benjamin, you know, his impact on the offense.
Doesn't done anything. He had less snaps in the last game than he did the game before. I thought the Chiefs were going to end up using him more, you know, given Sammy Watkins is still hurt. Didn't see him.
Yeah, you know, opportunities. I think we had one.
At the drop.
Almost, you know, almost had a touchdown catch there. So, you know, just opportunities. We're seeing that, you know, that could be something brought into the fold. But just, you know, I really like what I'm seeing with D. Williams. Like, D. Williams is bringing – I mean, he's exciting me about that – what can be at that running back position again.
I'm eager to see when Ware gets back, the two of them, and how the Chiefs end up, you know, working with both of them. The Chiefs, of course, fourth in the NFL.com power rankings. And I thought the next team was interesting because, again, you know, we go through the top three. It goes Saints – Bears, Rams, all NFC. The Chiefs are the top AFC team at fourth. And the next team isn't the Chargers. It isn't the Patriots. It's the Baltimore Ravens at number five, 9-6. They have a chance if they beat the Cleveland Browns to make the playoffs. And this is a team that should have, let's call it what it is, they should have, pending miraculous comeback, beaten the Chiefs at home. Here's Damian Woody on the Baltimore Ravens.
Last week I had said, when you watch the Baltimore Ravens or when you prepare for them, it's like preparing for a service academy because they are so unconventional that a lot of these teams, they just it's hard to prepare for that type of offensive attack that they present. They rush over the past 3 weeks, they're rushing the ball for 220 yards per game. Their time of possession margin is almost 10 minutes more than their opponents. Mm-hmm. And what does that do? That means instead of getting nine possessions of the game, now offenses are getting six possessions. So think about that. Your margin for error, you basically have to score on almost every possession. Oh, and by the way, they got the best defense in football. Yeah. So that formula right there, I understand the limitations that Lamar Jackson has in the passing game. But when you're able to run the football, control the clock, and then on to back you up, you have the best defense in football. Nobody wants to see the type of attack that the Baltimore Ravens are going to bring to the playoffs.
The Baltimore Ravens have won five of their last six games. The only game that they lost in that span was against the Chiefs, 27-24. And on Saturday night, the Los Angeles Chargers, with everything in front of them as well, Ravens go in and whoop them, 22-10. Is there a scarier team in the AFC than the Baltimore Ravens?
But don't – I mean, when you look at the Ravens-Chargers game, didn't that kind of look like the same ending we saw? I mean, I don't think the Ravens were really the best team on the field that day. Like, I think that actually the Chargers was a better team.
Well, Phil Rivers stunk in that game.
I think the Ravens was a better – I mean, if you take out the first play of the game, which was basically a Hail Mary chuck down the sideline to see if you could catch the Ravens off guard, to me, the Chargers had control of that game for the most part of it until the late fumble – punch out fumble. Yeah, they created the fumble, but that wasn't a giveaway. That was, I mean, the defense, he actually punched that ball out and then created a fumble. But the majority of that game was, even though you want to say the Ravens, their style of offense is about ball control and everything, I mean, I saw the Chargers being the dominant team in that game until the last few minutes, and then they, you know, the Ravens actually kind of, you know, got out there with a win. And we saw that happen here in Arrowhead with the Ravens. We've seen that with so many different teams in the AFC. I think these Ravens need to watch out come next week against the Browns. The Browns got something for you. They got some swagger. They got some magic. And I think that they got just enough, you know, I don't give a F from their head coach. He'll put 10 guys in the box and after the quarterback.
He doesn't care.
He'll take that quarterback out, and all their playoff hopes rise with Lamar Jackson. I don't think the Browns is the team you really want to rely on is being that welcome back to the playoffs.
Chiefs fourth in the NFL.com power rankings. In just a little bit, we're going to give you the top 10 Christmas song power rankings. I know Chris Unocero is ready for that segment. But before we do that, up next, LeBron James had an interview this morning. We'll get into some of his stuff lately, but it reminded me a little bit of what can happen in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, and I'll tell you what I mean. That's next.
Big at night.
:32 on a Christmas night, meaning we are halfway there. Pete Sweeney and Sean Barber filling in for Jay Binkley, Bink at Night. Chris Unocero on the ones and twos on a Christmas evening. I mean, just feeling real jolly. My shirt says, "Don't Stop Believing," with a picture of Santa Claus on it, and you should never stop believing in Santa Claus. I want to get into Patrick Mahomes and LeBron James. And whenever you talk about LeBron James, he's actually playing right now. The Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Golden State Warriors, a Christmas quintet that they have every year. And I want to get into how he could potentially be like Patrick Mahomes in a certain way, but it's hard to mention LeBron James without mentioning the past couple of days. A couple interesting quotes coming out of James. First on HBO's Shop, his show, interesting comments about the NFL. In the NFL, they got a bunch of old white men owning teams, and they got that slave mentality, James said in a conversation on a show, and it's like, this is my team. You do what I tell you what to do, or we get rid of y'all. Sean, I just... Since he's in the NBA and you were actually in the NFL, I think turning it over to you and asking you, did you ever feel like that while you were an NFL player, that there was a little bit of that, even if a little bit?
Well, I mean, be honest with you, I think that whole mentality is all that. It's kind of about how you perceive life in general. Like, if you think of yourself as a slave in some capacity, then you'll let, you know, freedom be taken away from you. But if you've never envisioned yourself being that, it doesn't really matter what kind of constraints people are putting on you. If you have a freedom mind base, and your mindset is based off that you're free to make decisions, whether it's in line with the way the ownership thinks or in line with the way the coach thinks. If not, you're a free thinker. You think outside the box. You're going to do what you want to do. Then there's no way you're going to take a man who has a mindset of being free and make him have a slave mentality.
Right. Because
he doesn't associate. He doesn't accept it. And to me, you know, like words in general, people call you, whether you want to say the N word and F word and people use, you know, gay slurs and all this kind of stuff. If you don't accept that as who you are, if you don't let those words affect you, and we tell my kids, we saw it on a cartoon or something. Like, sometimes you gotta let words roll off your back like water on a duck's back.
Right.
Like you can't let it affect you. You gotta know who you are. You gotta be so sure and confident about, you know, your Lord and Savior, who you're made to be. And what you believe about yourself being that you can't let nobody else define who you are and what you are and what you should do and not do. Now, there are certain situations in the NFL and every other business where the owner of that organization, the owner of that company, believes certain things should or should not be done by representatives of his business or his team. If you are a member of that team and you associate yourself as a member of that team, then you should definitely step in line with the things that ownership is trying to, you know, push forward for his team. But then when you take that jersey off and you go home, if somebody wants to ask you in your personal hours, what's your personal point of view about X, Y, and Z, then you should be able to say those things and stand behind your words. I appreciate what LeBron James says. He speaks freely about his thoughts about the NFL. As a player, I just never had that slave mentality.
There's a little bit of weight I think it holds, because I turned to the leaks that came out with Texans owner Bob McNair and saying the inmates running the prison. I think, you know, you can draw some connections there. But again, I think him having not played in the NFL, it's tough to put yourself, I think, in that position, because the NBA is so different for good or for bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I played with the Texans, and I've never sat down with Bob McNair, had a chance to sit down with him and find out, like, exactly his personal thoughts. Like, I don't take that out of context. I don't take that, you know, being that he said X, Y, and Z, that he feels like in life all the NFL players are inmates and we can't let them have so much. I just don't accept that as being his his true personal feelings. I think that, you know, in a certain setting, like you're saying, you know, 32 owners, they get around talking to each other. And they always called it like the good old boys network.
Yeah.
And some things are said just in certain social settings to fit into that social setting. So that's probably more of a group mentality. As a group of owners, they all probably in some form or fashion think that way. No matter how they...
I mean, the players are certainly employees, but you just shouldn't say they're imprisoned in any capacity.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah, it's a lot of things they shouldn't say in public, and that's probably why it was probably... It was said in private. It was said when they was in a... What was appearing to be a group of owners talking amongst each other about what we should do about these, you know, players kneeling and standing and that kind of thing. But in all, you know, in all reality, man, like, you know, if given a chance to have dinner with him or meet with him, or if I had had that chance, he probably would have came off as being a very respectful guy. He knows, you know, business people, business treats business like business. You know, businessmen are businessmen. So I don't know.
I do want to get to the sound from LeBron from this morning's conversation with Rachel Nichols. I just feel like it would be remiss not to mention these things that he's been going through the past few days. And then a day ago, he had to apologize for using a 21 Savage lyric on his Instagram. It was, "We've been getting that Jewish money. Everything is kosher." LeBron later apologized, saying he thought it was a compliment. Apologies for sure if he offended anyone. That's not why he chose to share the lyric. He always posts lyrics. He just didn't realize it was offensive, and he apologized if he hurt anybody. I think that is way different. Like I said, I think the big thing is you can't not mention these things that are going on with LeBron James as he plays. The Lakers lead the Golden State Warriors 30-25. But here was a conversation that he had with Rachel Nichols. And it just reminded me of, I think, what can happen in Kansas City, because LeBron James, you know, whether you agree with him off the court or not, is probably the most talented player in basketball of our generation. I know Michael Jordan people, Kobe Bryant people will be there, but certainly one of the greatest athletes of our generation. And I think we could be seeing that in Patrick Mahomes. Listen in. This is LeBron James with Rachel Nichols.
This is a league where, at least in this last half decade, you need at least two elite players to win a title. Yeah. Or maybe four or five. Four.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least two.
Right.
On this Lakers team, you're not only the only elite player, mm-hmm. you are the only all-star.
Right.
How important is it to you that whether it's this season or this summer, this team gets another elite player?
That would be ideal. And I think you've heard, you know, from the front office that their ideas and what they believe they, you know, what we can do. And that's going to be my job as well. You know, I'm looking forward to when, you know, guys come up for free agency. I'll be at their doors. I'll be on their phones. Seeing how we can continue to help this franchise become an elite franchise and get back to the mountaintop again.
So you're going to recruit because...
Oh, I've always recruited.
All right.
I've always recruited. I mean, I don't know. Is this something new? I've been recruiting. I've been trying to get guys to come play with me since like 2007. And I've got rejected a lot. But I've also have not got rejected.
That's right.
A lot of people didn't want to come to Cleveland. Let me just throw that out there.
So you don't feel it was you?
No, I don't feel that it was me. I tried to recruit so many guys to come to Cleveland, and we actually had a couple guys, and it just didn't.
Tell me now. Don't wait for the 30 for 30. Tell me now.
No, I don't want to. But it wasn't hard getting guys in Miami, I'll tell you that. So now that I think, being in L.A., I don't think it would be that hard to get guys here. But we got to win. And at the end of the day, it's all about winning. That's my job right now, is to show everybody that I can win with whatever.
So LeBron, I'm talking about the recruiter. I feel like now that you have Patrick Mahomes on this team, like a Tom Brady, like an Aaron Rodgers, like a Drew Brees, you're going to start to attract other people, I think, both on the offensive side of the football as far as weapons go, but even on the defensive side, because they're going to look at this quarterback and say, we can make the playoffs every year if we play for him.
Definitely. I mean, when I was a young player in the league, and like I said, you know, I was part of that, you know, Peyton Manning era. There were so many times, you know, being, you know, on a defense that, you know, we wasn't a top ranked defense. We was middle of the pack. I always dreamed about, man, if I could play on a team that had an offense like Peyton Manning and the Colts, where the offense was given, you know, scoring 30, 35 points a game, and defense, you can just be ultra aggressive and go, you know, play, not worrying about each possession. You just know the offense. If you get the ball back to them, they'll be able to score. I said, man, that's just such a great feeling to not have all that pressure be on your shoulders on the defense, thinking, hey, man, this team scores over 17, we might lose. That puts so much pressure each and every down to be in the exact right place, not taking any chances at turnovers or anything like that, because you just want to, you know, play kind of safe and sound. I think LeBron, what he's saying is like, you know, you come play with him, you're not even worried about if you're going to make the postseason. You're going to make the postseason being on his team. If he gets enough guys together, then they're going to make a run at the world champion. And I think you're saying the same thing about Pat Mahomes. Like from this point on, as long as Pat Mahomes is available, I don't think the Chiefs have to worry about whether we are going to be in the postseason for the next decade. Are we going to be in the postseason? Whether we win the AFC West or not, we're going to be either a wild card team, and we're going to be a tough out. We're going to be a team you have to reckon with coming to postseason. I think this is the new England. This is the next great team of the AFC. And to be a part of that as a free agent, if you're a wide receiver, who wouldn't want to be alive deep in the route when you know a quarterback has such great vision and the arm talent to get it 45 yards down the field on the rope on almost every pass play? You got to want to come to a team like that.
And that's why I feel things like, similarly to this, like that's why I feel things like Travis Kelce, if he stays healthy, has a realistic chance of being the greatest tight end in the NFL history. Andy Reid, I think, looks at Patrick Mahomes and said, finally, not to take anything away from Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith and Michael Vick, I think he's saying, finally, I have the tool I need to finally get this done. That's going to be attractive to people, even especially if you get one. You think about recruiting in college football, you know. The weather's nice in Florida. You can win a title if you come to Kansas City. That's going to be attractive. That's why Pat Mahomes is like LeBron James.